Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally with Sean Boyd on the Double, getting rolling. Show 99.
Show number 99, that is, Sean Wally. And, man, what an exciting time. I mean, week after week we do this show, and it seems like sometimes it's the status quo. But, man, this would mean something, man. Number 99, that's one away from the big 100. We got a show coming up next week that's going to be real exciting. Of course, some great guests. And you know, this week is no different, of course, but the only thing different is again, your vineyards. I know our listeners at times, just love to tune into the beginning of the show just to find out where the heck you are, man. And it's exciting. Where were you last week? Man, you move around quite a bit.
Probably. I was probably in Belgium. That's a safe bet. And now I'm across the channel in Cardiff, Wales. So it's been a fun few days. We hit London on Saturday, Manchester Sunday, and Cardiff on Monday.
So have you had a chance to see any of the sights yet?
Not really. The best chance has been Monday today. In Cardiff, our hotel is amazingly situated across the street from the arena. So all we have to do, we walked across to the arena tonight for the game. It was great. No bus ride. And then we had about 3 or 4 hours of free time this afternoon when we got into town, and we're right in the city center. There's a big mall. There's a lot of outdoor shopping and food venues, and I was able to find, you probably saw on Facebook, a castle, Cardiff Castle, and I'm going to tour it in a few hours here later on Tuesday morning, and it's going to be amazing. It's a huge castle, looks like from medieval times. It's just fabulous.
Wow, so it has the moat, the drawbridge, the whole nine. I mean, you guys are going to go and take a look at that, huh?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of different tours you can do, self-guided or tour-guided, and it's just going to be a fun experience.
So tell me this. Do you guys have it on the schedule to actually either visit or tour Buckingham Palace?
No, not at all. Don't have any time necessarily allotted for anything other than travel and games, and we have no days off. We had one day off here a few weeks ago, and that was it for Europe. So,
oh man, so but still some exciting times and some great things happening over there, and I'm sure that being over there and once you visit a couple of places, your accent will definitely attract some people. So should be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing, but we can talk about that later as we've got big time guest number one on the line. Let's head out to holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in Todd Millis, the lead golf writer for the Tacoma News Tribune. Todd, thanks for your time.
Hey guys, how we doing?
You know, Todd, it is always good to have you here on the Double, man. It is, as Sean was just mentioning, of course, you are the golf extraordinaire. Of course, there's a big, big, big tournament coming up in June, which is the U.S. Open. I can only imagine that you're chomping at the bit, so excited for this to get started already.
Yeah, it feels like it's been 100 years to get this tournament here and going, but now we're about 9 weeks out, and once the Masters concluded here a couple weeks ago, and all eyes are on Chambers Bay and 253 and Pierce County, and you know, it's going to be very fascinating to see how this course plays in a U.S. Open rotation because it's so unique, because it's a link-style golf course and something you might see in the British Open. But this year, it's a U.S. Open course, and we're going to see how those guys react to it and study it and play it and ultimately conquer it. And I'll tell you, it's going to be funny. It's going to be very interesting to see the guy that wins this, how they go about their business and studying it and doing it.
Now, of course, Todd, there is a lot of talk about the young and upcoming 21-year-old Jordan Spieth. And, of course, he won the Masters from beginning to end, just phenomenal in what he did, broke a lot of records and tied Tiger Woods' record for four days at the Masters. And, you know, what are we expecting here? Are we expecting, you know, Jordan to do some great things? Or, you know, what course or what player does this favor the most?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, Sean. It's a guy like Jordan, who's caddy, and you can't underestimate this. His caddy is a guy named Michael Greller. Michael Greller is a former school teacher in University Place School District. And in the summer, he used to caddy at Chambers Bay. You know, he's got about 50 to 75 rounds at that golf course. And, you know, by kind of a good stroke there, you know, with, you know, somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody, he got to get the caddy for Jordan Spieth when he was an amateur, and now he's his professional caddy on the PGA Tour. And I'll tell you, no caddy going into the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay is going to know Chambers Bay quite like Michael Greller will. So, and all these guys are just looking for a little bit of an edge to separate, you know, themselves from the rest of the field. And I'll tell you, the way Jordan's playing right now, and you know, he's had a couple second-place finishes. He's had a couple wins. He finished in the top 15 last week. And right now, with the way he's playing and the way his caddy knows that golf course, you know, I don't know how anybody else would label anybody, you know, any other guy the favorite here in about 8 weeks just because of that combination. But you ask me who could come here and win. It's, you know, it's a course of the European players are very familiar with. They're gonna feel very right at home on this golf course. So I would expect, you know, a guy like Jordan plays well, who's been playing well. A guy like Tiger, who's been a very good link style player, and looks like he's kind of recaptured a little bit of his short game. Phil Mickelson, a very imaginative player on the PGA Tour, and has won a British Open. And the European players, I mean, you can go through them. Rory McIlroy, Graham McDowell, Justin Rose. I mean, I would suspect that that's probably the list to start with on trying to pick a winner for the U.S. Open here in about 8 weeks.
Now, Todd, you mentioned, of course, Tiger Woods. And up until a few weeks ago, there was still a question on when he would return from injury. And he did say he would come back right before the Masters and played fairly well for his first tournament back. And it's got to be a big boom for the U.S. Open and Chambers Bay to have Tiger Woods most likely play in that tournament.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that's probably the best thing to come out of the Masters, even though maybe he didn't have the weekend finish that he thought, but he played extremely well. His short game looked sharp. You know, he's going to have to drive the ball a little bit better, but at Chambers Bay, you can be a little wild off the tee because the fairways there are going to be so wide. He's going to have to putt better, and he knows that. I mean, now he has a baseline for the rest of the season, and he's healthy. It looks like that wrist injury that he suffered in that last round is not going to be a factor. I mean, the best thing that really came out of it was if there were question marks going into the Masters, if Tiger Woods is going to play, I think those have been answered. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be a factor. And I'll tell you, it's been a long time. It's been 7 years. This guy's won a major. It would be incredible for him to come here and be a factor and possibly win his, you know, his 14th major and then try and chase down Jack Nicklaus in his pursuit of trying to eclipse that career majors record. But I'll tell you, that's Tiger can smell it, and he knows it, and he knows how to win U.S. Opens, and now it's just up to him to kind of take that next step and prepare and play a golf course that nobody really knows about, but he'll study it. He'll get to know it. He's a good link-style player. I expect Tiger Woods to be a top 10 player at minimum.
Now, Todd, outside of the local PGA pros like a Ryan Moore, the Putnam brothers, do you have any idea if any of the well-known names in golf have ever come out to play this course previously?
Well, I mean, Ryan Moore used to have a skins game here for a couple of years, so Bubba Watson's played it a couple of times. That's a big factor. I mean, any sort of knowledge of this golf course going into U.S. Open Week is going to be a huge advantage. Now, there's a wave of young guys, including Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Harris English. I mean, there's a group of guys that are in their early to mid-20s who have come out here and played the U.S. Amateur here when it was here in 2010, that very well could be... We're very well could have an advantage out here because they've spent the week kind of getting to know the golf course. Now, what surprises me is I talked to a lot of guys that, like guys like Rory McIlroy and the defending U.S. Open champion Martin Keimer, who don't plan on coming out here till the Monday of the tournament. To me, I think it's too late. I think it's a golf course you have to get to know, the course that you'd surely benefit if you got out here and saw it for a day or two well before U.S. Open week dawn. So. It's very interesting because I think you're going to see guys like Tiger, Phil Mickelson, come out here and look at this course maybe even more than once before U.S. Open week hits, just to kind of understand the angles and the bounces and which way the balls kick off. You know, if you're hitting, if you're a little off, are they going to kick left or right? It's a course that really requires imagination and, it's a course that you're going to have to really, really pick up a lot of knowledge on in a short amount of time. And the guys that really make an investment on the golf course, getting out here early, I think are going to have a huge advantage.
Todd Millis joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Todd, have you had a chance to visit the golf course here as of recent? Or do you see any changes going on over in University Place?
I did. I saw it today. In fact, Jordan Spieth's caddy. As I was speaking of before, Michael Greller was home on the off week. He lives here with his wife in Gigi Harbor. He was out here doing some media stuff. So I got to hang out with him for a couple hours today. And, you know, his reaction was kind of my reaction here this winter. They've really been able to grow some grass on these greens. And I mean, I could talk for hours and hours and hours about new golf courses and fine fescue grass, which is what Chambers Bay consists of. But the bottom line is they needed to grow some grass in these greens. So when they stress out these greens, when they stop watering them to try and make this golf course firm and fast, it's not going to go dormant. It's not going to go to dirt. So the grass is going to be stressed out, but it's going to maintain. And that's huge for a U.S. Open. So I think what the guys are going to find when they get here is when they stop watering these greens, yeah, it's going to get a little stressed out, but the texture of these greens are going to stay consistent. And quite frankly, in a U.S. Open, that's all these guys ask for. And they spent a lot of time trying to grow this grass. And with the moderate temperatures and the climate they've had here this winter, they've been able to do it. It's been a huge winter for Chambers Bay trying to prepare for this championship. And I think they're going to benefit most of this with just the condition of these greens.
Man, Todd flexing his knowledge on the greens and how firm and fast the grass is at Chambers Bay. Man, I can tell you, it is a majestic-looking golf course, Chambers Bay is. I mean, when you look off the water, off the Puget Sound, and you see the Olympic Mountains in the background, it is just extremely beautiful. And I'm hoping that the weather's going to be great around that time. Do you know what that's going to be like in June?
You know, it's interesting, Sean, because... You know, I've flown out for other U.S. Opens the week of the U.S. Open would be here, and I've seen some really calm weather, which is, I think, what the USGA wants. If you ask the USGA, they want a day of really calm, good weather. They want a day of rainy weather. They want a day of windy weather, and they kind of want a day of a mixture of it, just to kind of give those guys a little bit different stuff to deal with. And it's hard to predict Washington weather. You guys know, you guys grew up here. And I mean, if this course just is 4 days of no wind and really sunny weather, I think these guys are gonna really tear this golf course up, because tee to green, I mean, it's long, but it's gonna play fast and firm. And That's not going to give them a problem. But if you get wind on this golf course coming out of Puget Sound, that's where it kind of gets interesting. That's where you can see some of the scores get kind of ugly. You know, you could see a 75, 76 be a good score here. So, you know, that's kind of the X factor of this U.S. Open is weather. It can be very weather determined. And I'll tell you, selfishly, I'd love to see these guys face a little bit of everything coming out here. Because I don't want to see 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 under win this tournament. I want to see something around even par. I want to see this golf course stand up to the best players in the world. And, I want this tournament to come back here someday. And, you know, if this is a great tournament, somewhere around even par, I think there's a really good chance the USGA can look at this golf course and go, man, it was a great test. Let's come back here in the future.
You know, that's great insight, Todd. I never thought of it that way. You know, I know at Augusta, you know, there's a lot of emphasis put on changing the pins from day to day from each hole to make it a little more difficult. But as you're saying, I would have never thought that, you know, different variables in the weather would make for a strong competition as well. And yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, I mean, pin placement on some of these greens. I mean, the teeth of this golf course are in the greens. I mean, nothing really compares to the Augusta National. I mean, you're looking at guys, there are guys that line up 10, 12-foot putts on Augusta's really undulating greens and really just look at it and go, God, if I can get home, get down in two shots and hit a par, I'll walk off and I'll be pretty happy. It's a little bit like that with Chambers Bay greens. There's a lot of undulation. There's a lot of, you know, change of elevation. And, I mean, like I said, that's kind of the teeth of this golf course. Now, if you throw wind, you throw rain, you throw all those different elements into the golfer's heads while they're looking at these greens, and they don't know these greens because it's the first time they've seen them, that's where it's going to get very, very interesting. It's the guys that really are prepared for that, maybe play a little conservative, and know that coming in, that I think are the ones that are going to do the best. I mean, I really expect, you know, one under, even par, or worse to win this golf tournament. And, you know, like I said before, weather is such a huge determinant. But the USGA can manipulate that a little bit just with some of the pin placements too. So, I mean, they have a lot of options when they set this golf course up in June based on the weather, based on how the field's reacting, and based how the way the field's scoring as well.
Todd, do you think that the city of University Place and everybody involved with the infrastructure is ready to handle 20, 30 extra thousand people trying to get to that golf course day in and day out?
Well, if you're asking me, is the USGA used to it? Absolutely. And the USGA pretty much subcontracts this golf course to hold their national championship. So those guys know what they're doing. Now, do I expect people in Pierce County to really understand and know what's coming here? I mean, I don't think so. It's a lot bigger golf tournament and a lot bigger spectacle than I think people, even today, realize what's coming. That's just natural. I mean, nothing of this magnitude has ever been held in this area. They've never held a U.S. Open in the Northwest before, so I think people are going to wake up and understand that very quickly in practice rounds and understand, hey, you know, having all this TV and having all this media, which could be about 2,000 people and 31,000 people on the ground, I think people are going to wake up and go, man, this is way bigger than I ever, ever thought it would be. And it's going to be interesting to see how people react to that, and if they ever get a U.S. Open here again, what kind of adjustments they make to that as well.
Now, Todd, if you had to pick one or two golfers that might come out victorious at the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay, who do you think that might be?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't bet right now against Jordan Spieth. I know we've talked about him extensively here at the beginning. But I think the other guy that I really think should do well, especially based on the way he played at the Masters, is Phil Mickelson. He's going to give this very diligent thinking and preparation. He's got the kind of creativity around these greens with the chip shots and pitch shots to do very well here. Right now, I think when you go into that championship, I think those are the two guys to beat. But it would not surprise me if a Dustin Johnson or a Henrik Stenson or a Tiger Woods. I mean, you know, U.S. Opens are very much dictated on what you do early and the kind of momentum you establish. As we saw last year when Martin Kaymer kind of broke away from the field in the first two rounds, it could very well happen here as well. I don't want that to happen because I want suspense on the Sunday and I want a great champion. So, but right now, if you ask me the two favorites, I think coming into this 9 weeks out, Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson. I mean, they got the kind of short game to really do damage on this golf course.
Todd Millis joining us here on the Double, News Tribune writer, sports writer. And Todd, we're going to shift gears just a little bit, man. I've been wanting to pick your brain on this because I know that you cover, high school, and that's a passion of yours. That's a strong foundation of yours. And so, you know, what's going on in the world of track and field? I know there's some great things going on up there, and, you know, I just have to keep up, or you could keep me up on what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you, Sean, there are a lot of really good triple and long jumpers out at Curtis High School, girls. We had a ninth grader from Curtis that went over 40 feet in triple jump last week. That's pretty impressive for us.
Oh, man, that is so nice.
Starting out. Yes, it hasn't been a great year in track and field so far, but we're still, 7 weeks away from the state tournament. Isaac Swilly from Lakes, who used to be a Bellarmine prep, has really established himself as a dual threat, a sprinter, jumper type. He's in the top three in both events. With the state meet now being kind of a, it's really been established here at Mount Tahoma, the new Mount Tahoma High School here in Tahoma, here recently, the last six or seven years. It's a great opportunity for some locals to come out in front of their families and friends and perform well. I expect a guy like Isaac Swilly to do well. I'll be the first to admit I love track and field. It's my favorite spring sport. I haven't missed a start track since I've worked here for 20 years. And starting to set up, a little parity is not bad sometimes. Makes for some really interesting races. So I'm really curious to see how some of this stuff turns out. It's wide open in a lot of regards. And I'll tell you, teams to beat, both on boys and girls for the 4A Federal Way. I mean, they've really established themselves as a track and field powerhouse on both sides. And right now, I think going in here 8 weeks out, I think you look at those two programs and you have to kind of install them as kind of a favorite.
Todd Millis showing us why. His Twitter handle is @ManyHatsMillis. Todd of the News Tribune, thank you so much for your time and insight. Enjoy the track and field season as well as the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay. It'll be a lot of fun, but also a lot of work for you.
Yeah, and you guys are welcome to join me at any time to follow Jordan Spieth, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods. I'd love to have you.
Hey, Todd, don't call me on that, man. You know, I surprised you up there at the WIAA, the basketball championships. I don't think you expected me to come down there on the floor, so I might surprise you.
I would be a welcome surprise, pal. I would love to have you. I mean, you guys are all obviously welcome. I'd love to hang out with you guys here in the 253.
Awesome.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for having me, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Todd Millis. Many Hats Millis on Twitter. Give him a follow. Great things to know sports-wise, golf-wise, up and down the I-5 corridor.
You know, it's always good to talk with Todd and, just kind of joking about, popping up on him from time to time. I know that, when I see him in certain venues, I do the same thing. And it's kind of a mutual thing. Because we're doing our jobs, you expect to see the same people often. But, when I look at Todd and I'll see him on the field, whether it's on, at the Seahawks games or, at high school vineyards or whatever. We always look at each other with surprise, but then at the same time, we're so happy to see each other. And, man, I just love Todd and everything that he does from high school all the way up to the professional ranks. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have our second guest here on the Double, so keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the Double with the Double S Express. Hey,
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you fell with the first flame. Yeah.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two, Chet Buchanan, host of Chet Buchanan in the Morning Zoo on 98.5 KLUC in Las Vegas. Chet, what's happening?
Hey guys, here's the funny part. We were talking during the break, and just the way that you guys came in when I was on the phone, I thought we were already on the air, so we're going to have to tell all of our stories all over again. We're going to have to tell everything again.
Hey, that's the element of surprise, Chet. I mean, yeah, I wanted to make sure that you're locked in and everything, and of course, Don Newsom, our engineer, wanted to make sure that all levels were good, and man, we're ready to go. Yeah, you're right, and you're going to have to do it all over again.
Hey, by the way, Sean in England, I am loving following you on Facebook. I feel like we're traveling the world together like lovers. Backpacking through Western Europe. We've been in France. We're in England today. It's a pretty good life. You doing that Harlem Globetrotter stuff, huh?
Well, hey, Chet, wait till you get photos from Italy in the next couple of weeks.
Good for you. That's so great. I'm really stoked for you, and it really has been fun kind of following along on Facebook.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
It's so awesome to get a chance to follow this guy and some great things that are happening. I don't know if people know, but there are certain levels in any type of an organization, and the Globetrotters is no different as far as their corporate structure. And Mr. Wally is doing such a great job, man, that there's a chance that he might be in the corporate level here in the next year or so. Can you believe that?
Yeah, that's cool stuff. That's always great. And you know, I mean, it just goes to show anybody and everybody that find something you love, work your butt off, keep your nose clean, keep your head down, and good things happen. That's just the truth.
Great words to go by you, Mr. Chet Buchanan. And for some of our listeners, or most of our listeners in the Pacific Northwest, they know who you are. Of course, Sean introduced you as the man in the morning show on KLUC in Las Vegas. But man, going back just a little bit, you know, you were with Cube 93 in Seattle, of course, going strong still. And you and Harrison Woods just doing just a phenomenal job down there. And Harrison turning the wheels of steel as well. So definitely proud of what you're doing coming from the Pacific Northwest down to Vegas.
Yeah, it's funny though. That really was a long time ago. And you know, it used to be that I could go back to Seattle and go, oh yeah, you know, I was on Cube 93 for a long time. People are like, oh yeah, I remember you. Yeah, it's not quite that way anymore. But it's fun. And it's always great to, like, every once in a while I'll run into somebody who remembers those days. And that's it's always nice. I'm always going to be a Seattle kid. I mean, I've been in Las Vegas for 15 years, and obviously Las Vegas is home, but I will always be a Seattle kid. And I've got some business interests up in the Seattle area, so and my dad is still up there, and so we're probably up there about once a month, every month and a half. And I'm still just, you know, I'm a huge Mariner fan, I'm a huge Seahawk fan. I still hate the NBA because of what they did to the Sonics. You know, I mean, the NBA can go F themselves until they put a team back in Seattle. and that will never ever change. I mean, we go up there, I'll catch a Seattle Thunderbirds game or an Everett Silver Tips game. I still follow all of that really closely. And you know, and a lot of the stuff that I did then that I was just kind of doing for fun is really led to some cool things now. I mean, that's been the base for everything that's happened since then.
Now, Chet, I'm going to let Sean bring that in for you in just a second here. But of course, you were mentioning the Seattle Mariners and being a Mariner fan. You know, Sean and I have talked about the Mariners at nauseam on how great they're going to be and how they're going to start the season out and how the prognosticators have them as just astronomical odds as far as winning it all, the World Series. And here we are, the Seattle Mariners at 5-7, and they're having a tough time right now against, dare I say, the first place Houston Astros. What is going on right now?
We always, you know, it's really funny. We always, the last couple of years, we've really struggled against Houston, and that's bizarre. And we've struggled against Houston in Seattle, which is weird. Week one was funky because, you know, we had all these great bats in the lineup. And the pitching was good, but we couldn't get any runs. Then in week two, you know, obviously Nelson Cruz had an amazing week last week. Cano started coming around. Seager was hitting well. And then we couldn't get any pitching. So it's just, you know, once it all comes together, it'll be fine. This team's still going to win 90, 95 games, and I expect them to be in the playoffs. And the excitement back, oh, my God, I was there for opening day. And just the electricity at Safeco, there's nothing better than that. Felix on the mound, opening day, everybody really excited. And, of course, Seth Smith had a giant day for the Mariners that day. And as we beat the Angels, and Fernando Rodney didn't take us on the roller coaster ride for once. And, you know, it gave you a real glimpse of what things could be like in Seattle later on this summer.
And it's great to see interest back at the ballpark. Even so, you know, 2 weeks in, we're still seeing 30,000+ at the ballpark.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously expectations are high. And as the great college basketball coach Lon Kruger told me, and it really is true, and it's stuck with me now, every single time there's a team that everybody thinks is going to be good, there is nothing as heavy as the weight of expectation. And so just everybody stay calm, relax. It's still only April. You know, we got a long way to go on this. 5-7, whatever. I mean, you know, like, what is it? The Tigers are 9-1, 10-1, and nobody expects them to do anything this year. So it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Now, Chet, you've got something new and exciting that you're about to embark on. something that has some letters L, F, and L in it.
Yeah, we last season I got together with the guys from the LFL, and I ended up doing play-by-play for a few weeks. And now they picked up a TV deal again, and we're Saturday nights on the Fuse Network. And we actually just got the deal done. I'm going to say about an hour and a half ago, we just got our deal done, and I'll be the play-by-play voice for the LFL, and it's just fun. I mean, listen, I'm a sports geek, and doing play-by-play at any level, I think is fun, and I know you guys can relate to that. And so to be able to do it and actually have a national platform, and listen, don't kid yourself, the LFL. If you can get a quarterback with a decent arm, Angela Rippon could have done really well for the Seattle Mist, but she wasn't accurate enough, and she thought she was better than what she actually is. She could have run that league because she's got a strong arm, but she wasn't accurate. If you got a quarterback with a decent arm that can complete passes with regularity, you can shred that league. But these girls hit. They're tough. They're most of them are former Division I athletes, obviously in other sports. But they love to work out. They're CrossFit champions. They're they're the kind of girl that'll run a Tough Mudder or a Spartan race. A lot of them are pretty attractive, and they're not wearing a whole lot out there on the field. But when you're doing play-by-play is still play-by-play, regardless. At least that's how I look at it. And so I still prep for the games really hard and still take it really seriously from a football standpoint. Is the level of play that amazing? No. But is it entertaining and is it fun? And do these girls give 1,000% every game? I can tell you absolutely. And it's fun to watch. So hopefully everybody will check it out on Fuse on Saturday night.
Chet Buchanan joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And for those of our listeners who don't know the acronym of LFL, that is the Lingerie Football League.
Legends Football League.
Oh, I'm sorry. the Legends Football League. Yeah, either way.
No, that's so hilarious to me because I don't know. I really don't know. I know there was something with in the previous incarnation when the show was on MTV2. I know that there was some sponsor issues and those kind of things, and they didn't think that Lingerie Football League was the right thing. And quite frankly, they're not wearing lingerie. But whatever it is, it's girls playing football, and they're going out there and playing hard, and they're hitting hard. And you know the smart thing that they've done with the league is they've let them have fun. You want to get in somebody's face and cuss them out while you're mic'd up after a play? Go ahead. You want to get a sack and you want to dance over the quarterback? Do your thing. You want to do a choreographed touchdown celebration? Go ahead, because the league, the idea behind it is the league. It's all about fun and all about playing, you know, playing hard-nosed football. And I think that's what's been my in with these guys is I bring them a level of energy, I think, that they didn't expect starting out. And being in broadcasting for a long time, too, so, you know, I'd like to think that we're reasonably professional, but, I'm a kid, again, that grew up in Seattle, and I'm assuming a lot of our audience, just because of all of our backgrounds, is kind of Northwest-based. But, you know, I'm a kid that grew up with Kevin Calabro and Dave Niehaus. So I like to crank it up every once in a while. And, but at the same time, then kind of keep things at a dull roar as well. I mean, and we've seen Rabel really become that guy in the last couple of years. And so I like a good, exciting broadcast. And I like getting fired up about the game. And I like, you know, when things are intense and you know. So this is fun.
Now, Chet, you have two guys right here in Sean Wally and Sean Boyd that would love the opportunity to do something like this in the Legends Football League. So I just want to throw that out there. If there are any other, whether it's analysts or play-by-play, anything that is needed, we're looking to flex our portfolio as well, my friend.
when I, you know, one day if the league is ever able to expand, I'll definitely throw your names in there. I have no juice, as you can expect.
You're champion, man. You got a little bit of juice. Come on.
No. My job is to show up, be prepared, and do my thing, and then get out of the way. And you know, we're a small, intrepid band of broadcasters that are just trying to bring a product that everybody wants to crap on. And you know, we're just bringing that to television, and we're having a good time doing it. And that's the important part, and just trying to put on a good product. And so I handle my part and leave the rest to everybody else. But like I said, if they go, we're going to do more games, we need more folks. I'll definitely put your names in. Who just hit that RBI for the Mariners? Smith just came in from second. Miller with an RBI. How about that? Mariners tied with the Astros, 1-1, bottom of two.
Chet Buchanan, our new update guy. Live updates from Chet Buchanan. Mariners doing good things in Seattle. And Chet, you've had a great career in broadcasting Seattle, Portland, and a long time now in Las Vegas. What are some of your favorite moments, whether it be interviews or people you've been able to meet along the way?
That's funny. You're talking about broadcast stuff, and immediately as I'm watching the Mariners, I'm thinking when Edgar hits the double in '95, I'd gone out. Boy George from Culture Club was making a comeback and was doing some solo project in '95, and so I had gone out. We had heard that he was a wheatgrass juice guy, and that was when the whole juicing thing was all new. So I'd gone to some hippie, joint in Southeast Portland on a Sunday afternoon and gotten some wheatgrass juice and was bringing it back to my apartment in downtown Portland. And the game is on, and the Mariners making that furious comeback in Game 5 against the Yankees. And I literally was able to run into my apartment and get the TV on, like the pitch before Edgar hits the double. And I'm screaming at the television and slapping the floor, telling Griffey to get down. And I'm pounding the floor. The neighbors called the cops because they thought somebody was being murdered. So when you said any memories, it was the absolute first thing that came to mind. Every year in Las Vegas, I live on top of a scaffold, on top of a 30-foot scaffold for 12 days. We raise toys for kids, and it's become the biggest of its kind anywhere in the world. And, like last year, we filled 29 53-foot semi-trailers full of toys. We had, in addition to that, we had 5,146 bicycles and over $323,000 in cash and gift cards. And I've got to be honest with you, every year that's one of those memories. It's something I'm really proud of, and I'm really proud of Las Vegas, because certainly that's not something you would expect when you think of Las Vegas. And if you've never spent any time off the Strip, you wouldn't get it. Las Vegas is pretty cool. There's a lot of really great people here. I think everybody believes that we've all come from somewhere else, but there's a ton of people who are born and raised in this city and have grown up here, and they're proud of the city. And, we're on the verge of getting our first pro sports franchise with the NHL, first major league franchise. Obviously the CFL has come through here, and there've been other swings at a pro sports franchise, but, they love their UNLV Running Rebels. They're excited about getting hockey here, and it's a really great city, and I'm really glad to be here. And I really can't, there's been talk here and there about going back to Seattle, but I really can't see myself being anywhere else.
You mentioned hockey, and right now it's playoff time in the NHL. And how great would it be to have a team in Seattle to rival Vancouver, and just for Seattle to finally experience NHL hockey?
Dude, that's a problem for me though, because I bleed Canuck blue. And it's been a couple of years ago in 2011, going to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, my wife and I were there for a couple of games in the Chicago series, and then we were there for one game. We were there one game in the Stanley Cup Finals. Actually, in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, I was hosting Miss USA. I host the prelims, and then I was kind of the warm up guy for the final show. And so I had duties with that. And oddly enough, Miss USA 2011, Alyssa Campanella, also a huge Vancouver Canucks fan. So I was passing her updates during the show. Like, I would find out what was going on in the game, Game 7 with the Canucks and Bruins. And then I would go, during a break, I would go whisper in her ear what was going on as she is making her run to Miss USA. And, yes, I did have Canuck cufflinks on that night, and I was wearing green socks with blue dots on them for the Canucks. So having a team in Seattle would be amazing. I'd love to see that arena get built. I would love for them to go back to the old school and call them the Seattle Totems. Which really may have been the very first team I ever truly loved. Yes, I'm that old. But that would be cool, but that would be a problem for me. I think I'd be able to root for everybody as long as they didn't play each other.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that one, because I remember, you know, always waiting for Saturday nights, having, the Canadian station on cable in the Seattle area, and almost always there was a Canuck game on at least once a week. And those were the days for sure.
Dude, growing up in Monroe too, we live just far enough north. My mom I don't know whether she didn't want to get cable or we couldn't get cable or what the deal was, but we had an antenna rotator and you could spin that thing around and get the Vancouver stations. And truly, I grew up, obviously I grew up loving the Mariners, but I freaking love those Montreal Expo teams of the early 80s with like Ellis Valentine and I can't think of Dennis Martinez was pitching. But when they were making a run in the early 80s and Canada was losing their minds, I loved watching those games. And yeah, watching Hockey Night in Canada. Come on, dude. You can't even say you're a hockey fan and not love Hockey Night in Canada. And even though it's not on CBC, it is, but it isn't, even though they move stuff around. Chris Cuthbert, still one of my favorite broadcasters. Jim Houston, I absolutely revere. I've become a huge John Shorthouse fan with his work with the Vancouver Canucks. And, you know, and I know it's dumb. I know it's just the LFL, but all of that goes in, you know, kind of goes into it. I steal from everybody.
Well, man, there's a lot of excitement. You know, when we talk hockey, Chet, and of course, you know, Calgary and Vancouver are going at it. And, man, the Calgary's up 2-1. And do you think that Vancouver can pull this one out in the series?
Calgary's playing a lot better than I expected them to. And it's playoff time, man. And I think Calgary's always going to be a little envious of Vancouver. Vancouver's a little brighter. It's a little bigger. It's a little sexier. I turned to my wife last night when we were watching the game. I'm like, God, I didn't realize I hated Calgary this much. It's the thing about in baseball. Who do I hate? I hate the Yankees like everybody else. I have a pretty healthy dislike for the Red Sox like everybody else. I don't like the Angels much. I don't like the A's much because they're in our division. But I don't have a full-on hatred. Like, I can just go, okay, I can take you or leave you if you're the A's and you're the Angels. Like, whatever. You don't matter that much to me. True story, every other franchise in the NHL besides Vancouver, I hate. I really do. I hate them with a passion. Calgary is the latest one. I was watching the Ducks and Jets a few minutes ago, and I hate Anaheim. And it would be so cool to watch Winnipeg do well. And again, that building, the MTS Center in Winnipeg tonight, sold out playoff hockey for the first time in years. They're doing a whiteout. That building is a circus. It's literally, I don't know if they've got it on a foundation or whatever term you want to use for it, but that building is about to implode with playoff excitement in Winnipeg tonight. But that's what hockey does, at least for me. I hate Red Wings, Blackhawks. Oh my God. I'll go up to somebody on the street wearing a Blackhawks jersey and just go, Blackhawks suck, and keep walking.
That, you know, that seems to be the sentiment for hockey fans all around in the NHL. Of course, down here in Northern California, with the San Jose Sharks. And, of course, this is the first year in a long time that there's been insignificance with the Sharks. But that sentiment is echoed between a lot of fans in the NHL. So you're definitely not alone.
I'll say it right here, too. By the way, still love Patty Marleau for his years with the Seattle Thunderbirds. And but they just fired McClellan today. I don't know if you saw that. They just fired their coach and the assistants. I'll make the prediction right here. McClellan to Toronto by 4th of July.
There you have it. Man, strong prediction.
Yeah, it makes sense. Toronto needs – here's the thing. Every Canadian team but the Maple Leafs made the – oh, no, and the Oilers made the playoffs this year. Toronto – Canada would turn upside down if the Leafs ever made a cup run. And, you know, I mean, it's been a long time since that has happened. And God forbid they should ever actually win a cup. Same thing with Vancouver. I mean, can you imagine what would happen? But Tom McClellan's a good coach. I think this is a little bit knee-jerk in San Jose, but I'll bet you'll see him in Toronto.
Well,
you know, Chad, before we let you run, I wanted to pass this along to you. Our trainer here on my tour with the Globetrotters, Rob Ortiz, lived in Vegas a long time. In fact, he just moved in August to Orlando before the tour. And when he found out that we were having you on the show, he came over and sent me a message, and he was like, man, you're having Chet Buchanan on your show. He is my all-time favorite morning show radio host. I listened to him for years in Las Vegas. Man, that's awesome. You really must be big time. And I was like, no, it's not me. It's guys like Chet that are gracious enough to come on. And so we've definitely got Chet Buchanan.
Come on, Sean Wally. You're worldwide. What are you talking about, man? You're international. You're traveling the world with one of the absolute most recognized names in sports with the Harlem Globetrotters. You're the one that's big time.
You know, you know what, Chet? And Sean really downplays himself. And so Sean let me in on this. And this is going to be a first time, just like your LFL announcement. So Sean gets a call from his high school in North Thurston High School. And they want to do what now? What is it, Sean? That they want to? Do they want to put you in the Hall of Fame? What's going on in North Thurston to where they want to do this big deal? I mean, you have no clue on how big you are, Sean, and you're doing some awesome stuff, man.
Oh goodness! The school district wants to do an alumni article on what they call the famous alumni doing good things. So
Doing good things. Hey, we'll just underline that famous word. How about that?
No, man, but seriously, North Thurston has turned out a ton of good people over the years, and that's a lot better than what I got. Monroe High School sent me a letter the other day, and they said, yeah, we heard that you were in town. We want to remind you, you are not allowed within 150 feet of school grounds. We want to make sure that you know the police will be called immediately if you're anywhere near the school. So, I mean, honestly, you should be really proud of that.
Chet, do you still have fines in the library?
Hey, listen, that's between me and my lawyers and the Monroe School District. Fines in the library is a really nice way of putting that. We're trying to work out a settlement, and you know, one day we'll come to some sort of agreement.
Chet Buchanan, you can find him mornings at KLUC.com, 98.5 in the Las Vegas. Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo, and of course on the Fuse Network Saturdays for the Legends Football League. Chet, thanks for your time. You're awesome, man.
Travel safe. Thanks, boys.
Have a good one, man.
Chet Buchanan, so much knowledge on just about anything and everything.
Man, is there anything that he doesn't do? I mean, we talked about, you know, of course, you know, his days back here in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle with Cube 93, of course, down there at KLUC. In Las Vegas, doing some big things, of course, with his background in sports and getting a chance to go into that and LFL and, you know, all kinds of cool things coming his way. You know, loving hockey, and something tells me that when the opportunity arises, he's going to, you know, take a shot at that, especially if Las Vegas gets an NHL team. I mean, man, this guy is world-renowned.
how he has the time for everything is just incredible. And he's definitely got the passion, the drive, and the energy. And that's one thing he said that the LFL likes is the energy he brings. And he definitely, you can tell just in our conversations, he brings that 24/7.
Man, I mean, his light is always on. And that's, yeah, that's definitely what you need in our arena, in our venue. I mean, if you're doing media, broadcasting, play-by-play, analyst, I mean, it's go time every single time. And, you know, I love having Chet on because, you know, he does. He brings it, and it is 110% just fuel the whole time. So it's always good to have him on.
Well, Sean, it's been a wild 2 weeks in the American League West. All the teams are bunched at or below 500, with the Astros leading the division at 6-6. Right now, the teams are just beating up on each other.
Yeah, it seems like nobody really wants it. And I, you know, I liken it to what Chet was saying about, you know, the season. It's early. You know, it's funny. When your team is supposed to be one of the teams to beat, that's what you say. You know, it's early. Things are going to turn around, and they're going to get better. And Chet's right. I mean, it's early in the season. That's why last year when, you know, the talks about the Mariners and how they got off to a decent start and then they fell off, I was like, dude, there's 161 games. Dude, there's 160 games. Because as an Oakland A's fan and a Seattle Mariners fan, but an Oakland A's fan, the A's are always winning. So it's like, well, you know, there's way too much baseball to go. There's way too much. There are too many, you know, variables, caveats that go on with injuries, pitching going down, consistency, trying to build things up. Dude, it's early. I mean, we can go week in and week out and talking about baseball, but until it's September or October, man, talk to me then. And I say that every year because, I mean, anything can happen. You look at Oakland last year, the best team in baseball, the best team in baseball for a whole half of the season. And then the second half of the season, they act like they don't know how to play. It's 162 games. You know, let your team develop. Let them, you know, let things materialize with the chemistry. And sure enough, I mean, Chet was saying about 91 games. I'd probably say, yeah, he's about right. You know, Seattle should get that with the bats and the pitching that they have. So, you know, Mariners fans, just take a deep breath. I'm watching you guys on Facebook. You're throwing in the towel after 12 games, 10 games. You know, that's not the same fans that root on the Seahawks. You know, I mean, so, you know, hey, let the season take its course. It's going to be in Seattle's favor. You know, they're going to be in the hunt with the Oakland A's at the end of the season.
You mentioned Facebook. I like one of the comments I saw after their last loss to Texas, which was Friday, before they won the next two to win the series and right the ship just a little bit. Some guy said that, hey, go ahead and jump off the bandwagon. You're not real fans. And, hey, the bandwagon will still be there in September anyway.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And then, and of course, in September, when the Mariners are winning, yeah, those guys are going to act like they've been there all along, never left. You know, their fandemonium never wavered. You know, they've been in it from beginning to end, and they can't even name four or five players on the team. That's just the way it is. But, you know, yeah, they'll jump back on.
Well, Sean, talking to Chet, he mentioned the name Edgar Martinez. And I don't know if you had a chance to hear or see what happened, what he had the opportunity to do. The Tacoma Rainiers finally had their home opener of the season after a long road trip to start the year. And all of a sudden, a helicopter lands in center field at Cheney Stadium, and one Edgar Martinez runs out to throw out the ceremonial first pitch for the Rainiers home opener, and then away he went just as fast back in that helicopter.
Well, I can tell you this, the PR person for the Tacoma Rainiers is probably now the PR person for the Seattle Mariners. I mean, why in the world would the Tacoma Rainiers get first precedence or that idea go by the Tacoma Rainiers before Seattle? I mean, when was the last time we saw an Edgar Martinez appearance? You know, in Seattle, did he come through last year at all?
Well, he's got his named Edgar's Cantina in left field, so that opened in the past couple of years, so he was definitely there for that. No, he's in and out every so often, but nothing as grand and official as, hey, we're flying you in a helicopter, and then you're going to throw out the first pitch.
You know, that's great for the city of Tacoma. That's great for Cheney Stadium. Of course, Cheney Stadium being renovated over the past few years and just, you know, one of the best AAA ball clubs in America. And, of course, I'm always going to be biased to where I am here in Sacramento because the Sacramento RiverCats, it's just top-notch year in and year out on what they do at Raleigh Field. But, you know, again, some excellent things going on in Tacoma, it sounds like, and, you know, keeping their farm system strong, keeping the fan relations strong. And, you know, with some great weather, I know it's pretty sunny up there today, close to about 70 degrees over the past couple of days. Might have been a little bit windy. I think I got a report it was a little windy, but, you know, some great weather over the past couple of months. So it should be a lot of fun for the Rainiers this year.
Well, Sean, 99 shows. How does that feel to be so close to 100 and hitting triple digits next week?
Oh, man, this is going to be a lot of fun, our 100th show. And so, you know, all our listeners, thanks for listening. And, you know, definitely spread the word because we have some awesome guests coming up next week for show number 100. I mean, that's exciting, man. That is very exciting.
So the big question, do we give a little plug and a little teaser for show 100, or do we wait for social media in a few days?
Man, yeah, why not? Let's give them a little plug. Let's let some of the listeners know on who it is that the Double S Express is and who our guests will be, one of our guests for next week will be.
Well, I'm very excited and pleased to announce that a native of Pasco, Washington. You hear that, you think, oh, it can't be anybody big, right? On the contrary, potentially up there, one of the biggest names we've ever had on this show. He wore number 54, been a linebacker for years for the Chicago Bears, one of Brian Urlacher, joining the show for a week.
That is so awesome, man, that Brian Urlacher will be. That's right, everybody. Brian Urlacher will be having him on our show, interviewing him. Just exciting. Show number 100. There's going to be some other great guests that we have down the pike, and we're just going to keep you posted all week on what's going on, and that's just one. We might have three guests all together, but, man, that's just one of the guests that we're going to have, and you know, it could be a little bit bigger because this is a big celebration for us. And I'm excited, man. This is a huge, huge accomplishment for the Double S Express.
So definitely stay tuned to Facebook and Twitter. On social media, we'll be announcing the name Brian Urlacher and also the upcoming guests as we get them confirmed for next Monday, the big Century Show. And that's a clue as to which open we just might be using next week.
Man, I am so excited. I mean, can you imagine? So now we have Brian Urlacher on the show. That's like, you got to put him at the top bracket as far as, you know, guests on our show. You have to. I mean, this is awesome. And we've had some great, great guests. And so, you know, we're going to, and the list is going to continue to get bigger, but yeah, some good stuff.
Yeah, we just keep plugging away and bring that passion and energy that Chet Buchanan talked about. And, you know, good things happen and new doors will hopefully open and new opportunities. And heck, look at this, Brian Urlacher, a new guest and a great name for the show.
An awesome name for the show. And of course, number 99, we have this one in the books with guest number one, Todd Millis from the News Tribune, giving us everything that he possibly could as far as the PGA is concerned, and of course the U.S. Open coming to Chambers Bay in University Place, Tacoma, Washington, in the 253. And of course, guest number two, Chet Buchanan from KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas, and formerly of Cube 93, and of course now with the LFL on Fuse on Saturdays, man. So what an awesome show, Sean. I mean, you know, of course, you're going to lay your head down here at about 4 in the morning. And then what's next here? You guys have some games slated for, what is it, Tuesday? Is it already Tuesday for you? Wednesday?
That's correct. We are into Tuesday. It is 4:11 in the morning. And we head to Birmingham at noon on Tuesday.
Well, man, we'll definitely have some safe travels, man. And, you know, again, kind of making a little bit of fun as far as the North Thurston deal. But, no, that's a big deal, man. And I'm so excited, you know, excited for you, excited for all the things that you're accomplishing, man. So keep up the great work, and we're going to follow you on Facebook. And so for those of our listeners who want to keep up with the Double S Express, you know what to do. You can email us at sean@double-s-express.com. That's S-E-A-N for me, S-H-A-W-N for Mr. Wally. Of course, if you have, we didn't get a chance to open up those phone lines, but sometime soon we'll do that. You can also catch us on BBS Radio at www.bbsradio.com/DSX, or you can catch us on Twitter and on Stitcher. Show number 99 in the books. And, of course, next week, Big 100, the centennial. Whew, man, I'm excited. For Sean Wally.
Yeah, Sean, I was just looking at where I'm going to be for show 100, and it looks like, ironically, I will be, and the irony to me is just hitting me at the moment, be back in Germany, because we'll be flying and landing in Germany after we leave here in the United Kingdom, and then we'll be on our way to Poland. But I believe we have one night there in Berlin. So it looks like I'll be in Berlin for show 100.
Oh, man. So a hop, skip to Berlin, and we'll be celebrating show number 100, you in Berlin. And my goodness, dare I say I'll be probably still in Northern California, but that's okay. Weather's fine. 80 degrees around this time of the year. Actually, it was about 88 to 90 past couple of days, but let's not mince degrees here. So get some rest, man. Or if not, you know, go for a little bit of a run and have a great day, my friend. Show number 99 in the books for Sean Wally. I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, the engineer, you've been listening to on the Double with the Double S Express. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.